pandemic experience. So we continue with our gathering hymn. Jesus is there, is You Raise Me Up, by a musical group called Selah. Selah is in the Hebrew text of the Psalms, means praise, and it was direction towards the choir director. Selah, You Raise Me Up. Simplistic, you Christians. If you understood about Jesus being the way that is so all-encompassing, it has to do with our hearts, our minds, our behaviors, multiplying them by all the billions of people on planet Earth, you know that no human can resolve all the issues we have here. God can through His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, quiz time. What's the first title ascribed to believers in the faith of Jesus of Nazareth post-resurrection? They were called the Way, because Jesus is the Way, as the song indicates. Now, for those Bible scholars, what's the next name given to Christians in the Greek city of Antioch? Christians. That's when we picked up that title, Antioch. But first we were called the Way. Were you going to say something, my dear?
The greeting, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust
your abundance. And we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. And by your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise, Holy, 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 Familiar, sung again by Selah. Again meaning praise. Sing along.
Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God.
Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith, in hope, and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 55, selected verses. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the time, in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm comes from 65 selected verses, and the antiphon is, your paths overflow with plenty. You are to be praised, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there.
They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Your paths overflow with plenty. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away.
You make them firm, the mountains by your power.
You are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. Your paths overflow with plenty.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, so for you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges.
With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing, your paths overflow with plenty. Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 8, selected verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He commanded sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The gospel reading for the Sunday and the season of Pentecost is a reading from Matthew 13th chapter, again selected verses. Glory be to you, O Lord. The reading of God's word. Now that same day, Jesus went out of the house. He went beside the sea. Now such great crowds then gathered around the Lord Jesus that he got into a boat. He sat there in the boat so he could address the whole crowd that stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables. Those are symbolic language stories that were easily understood. And he said, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. The birds came, they ate up that seed. Now other seeds fell upon rocky ground, second soil, where they didn't have much soil. They sprang up quickly, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Now, thirdly, other seeds fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked him. And other seeds fell on good ground, soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let anyone who has ears listen. Then Jesus said, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the evil one, Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That's what was sown on the path. For what was sown on rocky ground, that's the person who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Now, such a person has no root and endures only for a while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for the seed that was sown among thorns, that's the one who hears the word of God, but you know, the cares of the world, the lure for wealth, choke out the word. It yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, that is the one who bears the word and hears it and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and in somebody else's life 60, and another person's 30. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. God has a way of talking to me through dreams and through many different things, even in my sleep. Thursday night at 2 a.m., I woke up repeating about 200 times the lyrics to the word, Three Crosses on a Hill. This morning at 1:48, because I looked at my watch when the rest of humanity in the Northern Hemisphere are asleep, I woke up for 20 minutes. In those 20 minutes, I was reminded of how God's word came to me and how I was called to serve it. Look back at the age of 5 when I got the internal call from God. I look back over my years of high school and college and my struggle with God and the Word. I came upon then, in 1 month, will be the anniversary of 44 years in the ordained ministry and serving as a pastoral office as an associate for 4 years preceding my ordination. That's 48. I realize how the times have been up and down for me, and I dare say for all of us, and yet God's word will produce that which it is intended to do in my life, in your life. So believe the word of God in the scriptures. We go to the Old Testament, Isaiah 55. We suffered 2 weeks. Cheryl and I made the comment this morning leaving our house. We've gone with that 3 cuttings of our lawn by Dan Sullier. Because of the drought that we had up here, even, 8 homes away from Lake Huron. And yet when the rain comes and the snow comes from sky to earth, Isaiah says, that soil gets refreshed, comes to life, growth. It produces wonderful things for us. And you look upon your lawn and our lawn and look at the life it's come back so far from the first rainfall this week. It is good. And the Lord says, so it shall be with my word. When my word goes out like the rain, it's going to achieve its purpose. Whether you want it or not, it's going to do it. Humanity can't stop God's word. Communism could not stop God's word. The Roman Empire cannot stop God's word. No empire can stop God's word. It may be tough on the believers, absolutely, because governments can stand in opposition to the believers. But God's word will continue to flourish in spite of persecution. The word is not empty, Isaiah says. It's going to accomplish that which it wants. And I think how many times we put God in a position that we have experienced from our children. The parent that says to his kid, now, I want you to remember this and don't do this. Or I want you to do this, remember it. They walk away and forget. And then they do the very thing they were said they weren't supposed to do, and not doing the thing they were requested to do. And even so, we, humanity, do that to God. We hear the word and we rebel against it, and we just play blind, dumb, and unresponsive. You can't escape God. Isaiah paints a picture in chapter 55, which is called Treat of Isaiah, Third Isaiah. It's a day of victory, not a day of suffering or persecution. The mountains will sing, the trees will clap their branches like hands. Some 40 years ago, I heard a Christian choral group singing lyrics that took these words out of Isaiah. And the way they sang it and phrased it was just glorious. Imagine, if you would, looking over the landscape of planet Earth, and you see and imagine mountains out there. Can you hear them singing? Can you hear the chorus raising up, praising God for the beauty of God's creation? When you stand in a tree landscape down there in the Smokies with all the forests around you, these trees going up to the skies, how can you not hear the branches clapping, applauding God? Unless you're deaf, dumb, and blind. Yes, in the Messianic age to come, everything will be restored. Nature, relationship with God, relationship for ourselves, heal the inner person, and relationships with other people. Come to the second reading, Romans. If you recall, we began this a few weeks ago and continued in Romans from chapter 6, which is what we call the baptismal chapter, so it goes, speaks in terms of, in our baptism, we become something new. The old has passed away, has died, like Christ died on the cross. We come out of the waters of our baptism as infant, child, or an adult to not act like we did before, but like the person we are becoming, not yet here in Jesus Christ. Over the history of the church, if you study church history, there are some people said when you came to faith, you were immediately sanctified 100%. Most of us don't believe that because we are sinner and saint, as Luther said. We struggle, as Paul describes, between knowing what's right and choosing what's wrong, knowing what's wrong and just gravitating, even though God says, don't do it. But Paul, in chapter 8, adds another dimension. He says there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Okay, you scratch your head and you say, what does that mean? Does that mean if I do some terrible deed, I murder somebody, I lie, I cheat, I swindle, if I was one of the industrialists of the 1800s and amassed all this thing at the expense of the downtrodden, the poor, subjected to virtual economic slavery, oh, I have to say, Jesus, forgive me. Well, I can't answer that unknown reality, but I can speak to the fact that God's grace covers our transgressions. But here's the catchphrase, in Christ. No condemnation for those in Christ. Isn't there always a catch in a clause, in a contract? What do you mean, God in Christ? Well, if you do a Bible study of Pauline theology, as I have done in seminary and in my ministry, you know the phrase in Christ means to be embodied with him and he covers us. That means your thinking, your actions, your motions, your doings in harmony with Christ. I don't know about you, that's pretty tough. I can't do it. But it is the Holy Spirit in me that moves me to that point. It frees me from a troubled conscience. The past that keeps coming up in nightmares and just destroying my peace. When back regrets come up that I made a bad decision and it won't go away, I have to live with the consequences. Find peace in Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ, God's word says, there's no condemnation of you. Then Paul goes on to explain what that means. The law of Christ Jesus has set you free, that is to be in Christ. it frees us from what? From sin. From eternal death and separation from God. Paul reminds us of this new identity. We are not in the flesh because God's Spirit dwells within us. Do you grasp what that means? When God looks down on us, God sees His Son, Jesus Christ, not our deeds, not our works, none of that stuff. He sees the works of His Son, perfect obedience, sacrificial living, servant attitude, totally obedient even to death itself. What evidence do you have that God's Spirit is in you? I'm waiting for an answer. What evidence do you have that God's Spirit is in you? Let me suggest to you some things that Paul gives us later on in other writings. 1 Corinthians. He says, when you can't express your heartfelt request, your agony in this life, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with moans and groans. I think we both have experienced that. And it takes our requests and our needs to heaven. Hey, that's how we have confirmation. When you recognize that there's a war within you, you know, the struggle, Paul says, I don't do what's right. Then you understand the enemy is attacking you. It's not God. For God's Spirit is a spirit of peace and calm in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Whenever my spirit is troubled, I go immediately to prayer. Personal confession. I immediately seek the peace that somehow has been broken. And I seek that which only God can give me, not alcohol, not drugs, not friends, not good doers, nor even my deeds. Because ultimately all that, thoughts, words, and deeds, are between me and God. So I have to go to the source that gives me the peace, God. That's the Romans text. Now we come to the gospel text. Familiar, I hope, to most of you. It's a text that talks about sowing. Got to understand, a lot of the biblical imagery in the scripture, Old and New Testament, is to an agricultural people. You may scratch your head and say, but we live in cities. Update the Bible. No, we're not going to change the scriptures to deal with our situation. We can understand it by the context that they had and our context today. So please understand, there's kinds of seeds out there, and I'm sure you've planted a few in your lifetime, right? There are those kind of seeds that are out there. You throw them on the ground. You just give a pack of seeds to kids and say, go plant them. Dig some holes in trenches, throw the seed. No, they don't. They throw it on the ground and walk away. What's the path? The first soil. Its consequence is it's not going to last. It's not going to choose the purpose for which it was put out there by the parent guiding the child. It is going to be grabbed up. If you had doubted that, put some seeds into the ground and watch the squirrel show it up. How many times I've left flower bulbs, they get into my food, my containers for flowers, and they dig them out, root them out. You can't make it easy. And throwing you the word of God as if it's casual, doesn't mean anything to me. Oh yeah, I got a Bible, but I don't need to use it. I know what God wants. No, you don't. Your heart, your mind is at war with God. That's called sin, original sin. Well, how about the rocky ground, second soil the Lord Jesus speaks about? Well, like my driveway. The seed should happen to blow over to where there's stones and gravel and all that kind of stuff. It'll start to grow. It might get some rain and nourish it. But you know what? When that sun comes out, like the last couple weeks, it scorches it, just like our lawns have been for the last couple weeks. It takes it down to bare survival level, and then it dies. God's word does not achieve a purpose in the people whose hearts are like rocky ground. Third soil, thorns. Oh, These are the enthusiasts, Luther called them. They're the ones that, yay, jump for joy, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And then time and trouble and things come along and, oh, they don't have a rock to stand on. They don't have a Savior to deliver because they become preoccupied in this world. The believer needs to understand as you mature in God's grace and the Spirit of God and God's Word in your life, if you read the Bible, study the Bible, just don't read it. This is not our home. Planet Earth is a stopover. We put too much emphasis that this is the only existence we will have. If you knew you're going to have more than a millionfold many years than what you have here, wouldn't you give some a little bit of thought about the future and how you're going to get there? Or are you going to miss it because you became preoccupied with the world? So the Lord says, those are the people who became distracted, thinking about themselves, their power, their influence, seeking more achievement here and forgetting about there, and becoming preoccupied with things that are really trivia as opposed to things that are essential. Do you remember Mary and Martha invited the Lord Jesus to their home? Martha's out in the kitchen like many of us would be. We're task-oriented people, type A. Martha's relational. She's more oriented to having time with Jesus and learning and sitting at his feet. Martha didn't care. She wanted to get dinner ready. Every set right at the table and get my sister in here, Lord Jesus. She was angry. Couldn't he see as a male? Her place was in the kitchen with Martha. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, look, go easy on your sister. Mary has chosen what was good. Come on. Learn. There's time to do the kitchen. There's time to do those things. But she has chosen the important things, not just relationships, unless you want to call the relationship to God's Word. That is the most important. So you got people in today's world calling themselves Christian. In the language of many of us, we call them nominal Christians, N-O-M-I-N-A-L. N-O-M-I-N-A-L, nominal. Nominal comes the Latin word, by name. They are Christians by name, but not by faith or Spirit of God. Kind of like Ezekiel, can these bones live? He says, tell the bones to come together. Now, do these bones live? Ezekiel says, no. What do they need? They need the breath of God, God's Spirit in them, to be animated and achieve their purpose and destiny. That's the thorns. The good soil. Do we have to say too much about that? When the soil is right, everything is primed and proper, seed is planted appropriately, it takes root, it grows, it blossoms. And it produces a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. I don't know about you, what soil you want to be. Then the evaluative question, what soil are you now? And then the third question is, are you producing fruit? For God and the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus said, or for yourself, trying to make more friends to be politically correct instead of God correct. You have ears, Jesus said, listen up. Live that way. May the God of grace reveal to us in the Lord Jesus, the one who calls us to a happy place where mountains sing, trees clap, a coming day of the Messianic age, and believe me, it's closer now, like Paul says, than when we first believed. Believe me, Christ is coming soon. Just look around you. Evil prospers. Amen. Our hymn of the day this day is Randy Travis again. He's got the whole world in his hands. You think it's chaos. God says, no, it's achieving the purpose.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and rain. In his hands, he's got the wind and rain. In his hands, he's got the wind and rain. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world 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 in his hands.
If you've been with me over the years in Vacation Bible School, you know I make the children and the adults act that out with their hands to make that song come to life.
It's always fun to do.
It is. I did it here. You just didn't see it on the radio. We affirm our collective faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. I should mention, we're doing the affirmation of faith slower. Cheryl, at our rehearsal yesterday, instructed Hope and I we should pause to ponder, and I hope you have too. These words have much behind them.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Gracious God, your word has been sown in many ways and places. We pray for missionaries in newly planted congregations around the world. Inspire us by their witness to the faith we share. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, the mountains and hills burst into song, and the trees and fields clap their hands in praise. We pray for the birds and animals who make their home in the trees, and for lands stripped bare by deforestation. Empower us to to sustainably use what you have given. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reigning God, we pray for our nation's leaders. Increase their desire for justice and equality. We pray for our enemies. Bridge the chasms that divide us and guide authorities to deep and lasting peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abiding God, care for all who are in need, for those who are doubting, renew faith. For those who are worrying, provide release. For those who are struggling, ease burdens. For those in fear, give hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renewing God, revive your church in this place. Nourish and nurture the seeds you have planted that we might grow as disciples. Replace what has been depleted. Sustain our missionaries and deepen relationships with the wider community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, we give thanks for all who have died. Comfort us in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. And gracious God, we also add to our prayer list those who, of the whole congregation, the community, the nation, for the world that you have created in love. We pray for those who suffer from the COVID-19. We pray for all those with cancer, for those with dementia, with Alzheimer's, and all kinds of afflictions that we endure in this lifetime till the resurrection. But especially those who have made those requests known to us, we also pray. We name Joe Coulthard, Donna Taylor, Bucky and Kathy Rose, Lois Parker. In their testing, in their life, in their afflictions, Lord, give them strength and healing according to your perfect will. For the sake of our Lord Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We continue in prayer as our Lord taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
At this time in our election, our liturgy, we would be receiving the offering. But along with this, just some updates on the radio sponsorship that we have received to date in the office. Next Sunday will be sponsored by Ed and Bev O'Connor, just consequently our next door neighbors. Next radio broadcast, July 26th, though her birthday was this last week, Mary Patterson, in honor of her birthday. August 2nd, in memory of the 60th anniversary of Roger Survived, Donna Taylor sponsors. August 23rd, Donna Taylor sponsors in celebration of her 82nd birthday. September 13th, in memory of her husband, Roger Taylor, Donna Taylor. And again on October 4th, honoring Roger Taylor's birthday, Donna Taylor sponsors. So you see, we have many holes in the schedule that can use your name and sponsorship to make it complete. On the lawn care side, which runs us $45. This Sunday is Tony Gaines. Thank you very much, Tony. And certainly, as God has watered the earth, the grass shall grow this week. July 2019, 26th is open. All the Sundays of August are open for lawn care. So please support it. We appreciate your support. Remember, your gifts are most beneficial for continuing the ministry here. Besides the ministry we do, we sponsor in our house at modest compensation for utilities, Blue Water Recovery Outreach Center, BWROC, BW Rock, we call it. And they are doing great things in terms of community service as part of the recovery process for those with affliction with substance abuse, and doing many things in terms of guiding them to healing services. So we applaud their ministry within the belly of our Savior in the 100 years we have been doing work in God's name.
Just as a reflection from last week, I really hope, since some didn't get the podcast right away, I hope that you would, again, I commend you to go and YouTube Red Skelton, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
It's truly amazing.
Inspiring.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
really
very inspiring. And it's what led me to believe that we do many things by rote and we forget what the words are and what they mean, which is why I had PD slow down the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, so that we could hear the words.
And ponder them, yeah.
So with that being said, I just encourage you to YouTube it, because it's beautiful.
And I hope you appreciate the music each week. I just make a little semi-commercial parentheses, and that is, I have acquired 20 more CDs since the last broadcast, and I got it integrated into my hard drive, and weekly I'm using newer hymns. So here's the offering hymn.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are the signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world, through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to our sending hymn. You've heard the blessing of God. This is more important. God be with you till we meet again, by Sila. I'm going to switch over, and I hope the station keeps us on.
It's been an amazing hour with you all. Go and serve the Lord.
Amen. Music's coming up.